This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. I am Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall, Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Paul Kelly, kind enough to join the program once again today. We'll catch up with Paul later on this hour again. There are some people that have not had their fantasy drafts. Maybe, Jensen, they wait till the very last minute here, get those rosters finalized here before week one of the NFL season, which is tomorrow. We can't wait and have our best bets, and we'll do some season previews coming up here before this show is over on this edition. But lots of baseball talk, lots of changing players, and maybe a big name coming back here for the Yankees. That's where we begin today's edition of the Daily Diamond. Say what you will. Oh, I got a fire alarm right as we start the segment here, Jensen. But say what you will about the Yankees and the Dodgers. Oh, boy. Okay, thank you very much. We have a fire emergency. Hopefully, I'm going to be okay. Jensen, Aaron Judge coming back to the Yankees is big news. They've been waiting on this with his rib injury, and it looks like he's going to be back in the lineup tonight. Just a day ago, it was Shohei Ohtani coming back for the Dodgers. It's good for the game, whether you like the Yankees or the Dodgers or not, for the two biggest stars in their respective leagues to come back.
Well, and it's going to be huge for both squads. First and foremost, start with the Yankees. I mean, they have been just dying for offense, or at least some continuity in the lineup. And when you get the big guy back, I think that's going to go a long way, as I had said earlier in the program, just for the morale component. When you see him suit up and you know his name is in the lineup, it's a different vibe in the locker room and when you take the field. And that will have already a tenfold increase in productivity for guys that are just saying, okay, we finally got the big guy back. We are feeling really good about it. Same thing with Ohtani. And I know this is more, you know, looking at Dave Roberts, both short-term and long-term, of they're going to be in the postseason. And their real challenge is going to be, how much do we want to push, you know, for this top two seed? If you look at where they are right now, they currently occupy the number two spot behind the Milwaukee Brewers, and they are two games ahead of the Atlanta Braves. Now, the issue there is Atlanta, I believe, and I'm double checking right now, Atlanta, I believe, has the season series tiebreaker over the LA Dodgers. They do. They went 5-1 against LA. Now, that's critical, Dave, because essentially knock a game off and Atlanta is technically just, you know, two games behind, but one, because they would own that tiebreaker. So the Dodgers will be motivated to try and secure a top two seed. Now, the other irony here too, when you look at Milwaukee, here we are again with this team that has a chance to surpass their win total last year. We were like, God, they won 97 games. Like, they're on pace to win almost 100 games again here this year. Okay, where are the key tiebreakers? And I'm going to do a little exercise tomorrow to kind of give everyone a full look at the playoff picture, because it is actionable if you're on a DraftKings and you want to play the exact seeds that some of these teams can occupy. If you look at Milwaukee, Milwaukee does have the tiebreaker over the Dodgers. They won the season series 4-3. Milwaukee tied with Atlanta 3-3. Now, the second tiebreaker there, Dave, is best record intradivisionally. So meaning Milwaukee's record against the National League Central versus Atlanta's record against the National League East. So keep that in mind. And there obviously are still plenty of divisional games left to go. I think that's the one thing I will be keeping an eye on, because right now Atlanta is 30-16 against the National League East, but Milwaukee is 26-15 against the National League Central. Now, Milwaukee is a boatload of divisional games left. Atlanta does not. So that's going to be kind of the topography here. And that's only if Atlanta and Milwaukee come together at the end of the year and they have the same record, you would go to that second tiebreaker to determine the seeding there in October.
You've got some plays out there, and one of those, it's a very interesting matchup here to me for the Cubs and the Brewers, because David Peterson in New York, it didn't exactly work out, at least at the end of his time there. And it's worked out so far, at least in his short stay here in the Windy City, taking on the Miz and the Brew Crew here. Jensen, what's the angle that you like in that game today here in Milwaukee?
Yeah, not going to surprise a lot of people that we would go for an under when Jacob Mizorowski is on the mound. Well, for good measure, because at American Family Field in 14 home starts this year, Dave, Jacob Mizorowski has a 1.62 ERA. That is good enough for me to look at him limiting a Cubs offense that actually has been one of the better units in the second half. However, we also have David Peterson, who has five consecutive road starts where he's allowed three earned runs or fewer. So let's not overthink it here. Let's play the under 7.5 for a unit, Dave. Minus $1.15 is the best price that I found on Novig, and got that for 53.5 cents here this morning before the segment. So seeing Circa at $1.20 right now to the under. So shop around for your best price. Just a unit play to start. We'll see if lineups dictate maybe adding on to that position. But I do like a unit play here on the under 7.5 for Cubs Brewers later on tonight.
You know, we had Greg Peterson on in the last hour. So again, please like, subscribe, Visan by the Books podcast. He really likes the Reds today, taking on Tarik Skubal and the Dodgers. And look, Dodgers are getting hot again. They've won five in a row. You have Shohei Ohtani back in the lineup. Are you going to look to the total instead of the side in this one?
Yeah, same idea here. Tarik Skubal on the bump here for the Dodgers tonight. Obviously, we love having that guy and being able to have run suppression there. Last four starts overall for Tarik Skubal, 2.55 ERA. But Dave, when we look a little bit deeper under the hood, his field independent pitching is 1.07. So his ERA should be even better. He's been a little bit unlucky in those last four starts. So that's even more bullish on an under 8.5 minus $1.25 is what I got on Novig. Better price there at Circuit, minus $1.20. As you heard Greg Peterson earlier, Nick Lodolo, it's been a little roller coaster ride for him the last handful of starts, but I think you're still having a Dodger team that's trying to find their footing. Yes, they put up six runs last night, but I think we get under that total maybe by the skin of our chinny chin chin, and the under 8.5 minus $1.25 will play that tonight.
Swise baseball, it's 162. You never know what's going to happen. But Dylan Cease did not pitch very well last night in Sacramento against the A's. And despite the comeback, they do lose 6-5 yesterday in that one. And Jensen, that's one of those games when I wake up and check that result, I go, ooh, that's one you're kind of counting on there in that wild card race. You got Jose Soriano back in the bump here for the Blue Jays today. Can they exact that revenge on all of a sudden the red hot A's who've won five of the last 10?
We'll pump the brakes on Sacramento here, and we'll actually look a little bit again, I know, earth shattering, to an under. But here's some numbers that do back it up, okay? Toronto's a road favorite, and they were last night, 21-18-2 to the under, not overly ridiculous. We are going to buck a trend, though, and it's one of the better ones, Dave, in Major League Baseball this year. You and I have always been, and we were one of the first in the network to advocate for it, the over in Sacramento. Okay, and the numbers do back it up. If the Athletics are 28-18 to the over as a home dog, which they are tonight, that is the best mark in Major League Baseball. But situationally, for a night, as you alluded to, actually kind of like where this pitching matchup is for run suppression. Jack Perkins, who's going to get the ball for the Athletics, the last four appearances he's had is a 2.70 ERA. And I've watched enough Blue Jays here in the last month to know that, yes, they can be unpredictable, but there are times they get lulled to sleep offensively. So I'm going to err on the side of how the numbers match up for me here. We'll play a unit and a half on the under 9.5. And I found that actually at $1.07, circa another better price there. They're at even money. So again, shop around there, but under 9.5. And we might have to hold our nose a little bit late with some of the bullpen action there with the Athletics, but I would think that the Blue Jays, embarrassed by what they did last night, will bounce back in earnest. They got all of their big weapons in the bullpen ready to go. So I think we're in good shape there on the Blue Jays side.
I don't know what everybody had on these numbers on Arizona and Kansas City yesterday. If you got the 9, you got a push. It might be the worst push of all time because this is scoreless going to the 10th. And you get 5 from Arizona in the top of the 10th and 4 from the Royals in the bottom half to get to 9, Jensen. I mean, you just don't make that stuff up. What about today? Can we get one less run here to get that under home?
I think we can. Enough fury from the back ends of the bullpens there. And hopefully this ends in regulation. Arizona is actually the best team in the National League, Dave, to the under as a road favorite. They're 17-8. to the under. So depending if you got a 9 or a 9.5 yesterday, that obviously had a lot of implications. Now, Kansas City is a home dog, just a game over 500, 25, 24 and two. So not really worried about that. I'm going to play, this is a 2.5 unit play. I'm going to play an under 9.5 at $1.17. Okay. I think that we are going to get an under here. We are going to get an opportunity for these two teams to not have, you know, any of the heartbeat hotel that we had yesterday. Pitching matchup, Corbin Burns, come on back off the IL. Let's go, baby. Let's see what you can do tonight. And a guy in Michael Wacha, where if this was the Cleveland Guardians, Dave, we would just set the under and forget it because he'd be a Hall of Famer every time he pitches against Cleveland. So Corbin Burns back off the IL and Michael Wacha. Don't know what the leash is going to be for Burns, but plenty of bullpen assets ready to go for Tori Lavello's crew.
One more very quickly to sneak in here. Tigers and Twins. I keep feeling like both these teams are done, but you just never know in the American League these days. You're going to go back to the well here for one more under?
Yeah, horrible beat from Riley Green. I hate you from yesterday. 3-run homer ends up pushing it to 9, and we had the under 8.5. We go back to the well. I don't believe what I just saw yesterday. Dean Kramer, 3 total runs allowed in his last 2 road starts. He'll go for the Twins. Detroit is 19-17-3 to the under as a home favorite, which they are today. 2.5 unit play. Twins, Tigers, under 8.5, minus $1.11 on Novig. Let's get it home tonight from Comerica Park.
Love it. We also love catching up with Paul Kelly. He's going to join the program next. We do know there are people that have not gotten those last second fantasy drafts in. Paul's going to let you know what to do for the season and also for week one. That's straight ahead. Yes, football begins tomorrow night in the NFL. Paul Kelly joins the program next.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Tuesday morning. Going to get to the Daily Gridiron and make our official predictions because the season starts tomorrow. We'll give you our playoff predictions coming up a little bit later on. And, of course, our best bets before we say goodbye in this edition. But we say hello once again to Paul Kelly. Does a great job. Host a Fantasy Football Morning on SiriusXM's Fantasy Sports Radio. Give him a follow on X as we do at Paul Kelly Tweets and joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Paul, we know there are some people that have not had their fantasy drafts out there, and yet we also talk about it in context, not just as far as people drafting, but, you know, you get to some kind of those overviews of teams' player expectations. But I think you've kind of pulled back the curtain a little bit here, Paul, for this conversation today, at some play callers that could affect some of those players that you do draft. Let's start off in Baltimore here with some new play callers. And maybe a guy like Declan Doyle that people don't know about. What do you expect to see from him in Charm City?
Well, I mean, look, he's a very young guy. He's essentially the same age as his quarterback that he's going to be coaching, Lamar Jackson, right? He's, as you mentioned, he's never called plays before. But in Baltimore, look, they're still going to build this offense around Lamar Jackson, around Derrick Henry. No surprise there. But we do think they could throw it a bit more than we're used to seeing in Baltimore. Certainly more than what we saw under Todd Monken when he was coaching the offense there. They're looking for more explosive plays down the field. And that could mean good things for Zay Flowers in particular for fantasy purposes. I would look to Zay Flowers as somebody that I like a lot to have a big season for them. And maybe Jacoby Lane, their rookie wide receiver. He's been making a lot of noise in training camp. It sounds like he's going to have an opportunity to have a full-time role in the offense. But guys, you know, we've been talking about this stuff all summer, all off season, speculating about what we think will happen. Now that week one is finally here, we start to get some answers to the test, right? And it's going to be a lot of fun to see what this looks like. We've got 18 new play callers around the NFL. So a lot of changes, and certainly the Declan Doyle addition in Baltimore is one of the bigger ones.
All right, we may get a little insight too tomorrow. I'm not sure if it's an answer quite yet to the backfields of both the Patriots and the Seahawks. But Paul, they're going to have to put somebody out there. We know Travion Henderson, another DNP for New England. Obviously, the injury issues for Seattle. Does that mean we get a healthy dose of Jadarian Price? Set the stage. And if for people that have shares of backups in both these respective backfields, who would you recommend, whether in a fantasy aspect or maybe a daily fantasy look as well?
Yeah, I mean, these are two of the more interesting backfields, and we get to see them both in the first game of the season. So for New England, as you mentioned, there were a lot of people drafting Travion Henderson in front of Ramondre Stevenson all summer. I never fully understood that. I think that Ramondre Stevenson is the lead back, even when Travion is healthy. But to your point, it looks like Henderson may not play in this game. So we may get a bell cow role from Ramondre Stevenson in this first game of the season. By the way, I like him over 3.5 catches in this game. I'll just put that out there. Ooh. But on the other side for Seattle, Jadarian Price, I just look at this in the most simple terms possible. The Seahawks lost Ken Walker. They needed a running back. They drafted one in the first round. He's getting the football. So start Jadarian Price. Yes, they're going to mix in George Halani, maybe Emmanuel Wilson, but I think Jadarian Price, who, by the way, we did not see at all in the preseason, is going to get fully unleashed tomorrow night.
Yeah, they're gonna run that youngster, that's for sure, tomorrow night there in the Pacific Northwest. Even though, as you mentioned, Paul, you didn't see him at all, you're going to see him a lot tomorrow night, you would suspect. What about what we're going to see in Melbourne? Because we're hearing reports, obviously, defensive side here. Nick Bosa looks like he's going to be able to go for the Niners. But George Kittle, we know he's there, trending to play over there in Melbourne tomorrow night. How cautious would you be, Paul, if you're looking to put him on your week one rosters?
So I would not use him in DFS. In a redraft league, if you have Kittle, if you drafted him to be your starter, chances are he may be your best option. I think there's certainly a chance that if he plays, guys, he's going to be on some kind of a pitch count. I don't think we're going to see the full allotment of George Kittle snaps and route participation as we normally would. So I think he will play a bit less. But if you don't have a better option, I mean, look, all it takes is one big play for George Kittle to come through for your fantasy team. But if I did have a comparable option, if I had a Mark Andrews or a Juwan Johnson, I would look to get those guys into my lineup in week one and see what we see on George Kittle. But it's really been a remarkable recovery, just the fact that we're even talking about the chance that he's going to play this quickly after that Achilles injury.
Yeah, the Brock Bowers and Trey McBride GMs set it and forget it. You know, you don't have to worry about any of those guys. That is for sure. The worry, I guess, week one, and Dave and I will talk a lot about this. We do it every year. It's the most unpredictable week of the NFL season. Mm-hmm. And then week two is the biggest overreaction week. From a fantasy perspective, let me start with a game that I think is going to garner a lot of attention from a survivor standpoint, and that's the Dolphins and the Raiders. New look offense here with Malik Willis. Von Achane is going to be the bell cow in the back there up against a Raiders defense that we think is going to be a bit more revamped. Do we trust anybody outside the Von Achane from Malik Willis in his Dolphins debut?
Trust is a big word and one that I would not use to talk about the Miami Dolphins, right? Literally, the only thing we know about the Dolphins offense is that Von Achane's getting the football and he's really good when he's got it in his hands. Outside of that, the Dolphins have changed everything you can change, from the general manager to the head coach to the quarterback to the guys catching the passes. Like, everything else on the Dolphins is different. So, no, I wouldn't look to use any of them in a lineup in week one outside of Devon Achane. But the one name that does intrigue me is rookie wide receiver Chris Bell, who finally appears to be healthy. We actually saw him in some preseason action. Reports have been good. I think that by the time we get to midseason, maybe even earlier, Chris Bell is going to be a receiver that people are picking up off the waiver wire for their fantasy teams.
I just need four wins, Paul. I need four from the fish. If you get me five, that'd be nice in the adjusted win total, but that'd be really nice, okay. Miami, somehow.
See
some
what
way.
We can do.
Thursday night, back to that game in Melbourne. And, you know, we talk about this in fantasy context all the time, handcuffing with certainly some of the running back positions there that you have across the league. With Kyren Williams and Blake Corum, how would you attack that from a fantasy perspective? Would you avoid both of them, or is there an angle here to play one guy over the other?
Yeah, I think Kyren Williams is still the guy who gets the bulk of the work until we see otherwise. But the split late last season was a lot closer than people realize, with Kyren Williams getting about 60% of the work and Blake Corum getting about 40% of the work. So they essentially were rotating series late last season. I would imagine that split continues this year, but it is Kyren Williams still as the starter. So if I had to choose between those two guys, it's Kyren Williams for me in week one. But I think Blake Corum does have a role large enough that you could use him in a flex position. And certainly he's somebody where if Kyren Williams were to ever get hurt, Blake Corum instantly becomes a top 10 fantasy running back.
Okay, very good. And now no Travis Etienne Jr. for the Jacksonville Jaguars anymore. Trying to figure out, outside of Jaden Daniels, who else is going to run the rock for the Washington Commanders against the Eagles in a very tough matchup defensively there in week one. Some insight from you, Paul. If you're advocating for people in the Jaguars and the Commanders backfields, who are your top options for those matchups? Jags will be hosting the Browns, Commanders on the road against the Eagles.
I think they're both going to be shared backfields, but certainly for the Jaguars, Bashaul Tuten has been the healthier back over Chris Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. I think we'll see both guys. By the way, this is a great spot for them. 8.5-point favorites against the Cleveland Browns. They're probably going to run the football a lot in the second half of that game. I would lean towards Tuten, though, over Chris Rodriguez. And then for Washington, I think we go with the guy who's been there, and that's Bill Kroski-Merritt. I think we'll see Rashad White playing in obvious passing situations, but I think that Bill will get first crack at being the lead back here. Tougher matchup against Philadelphia, and we'll see if the Commanders can keep it close as 4.5-point dogs here on the road against Philly. But I would lean towards Tuten for the Jags, Bill Kroski-Merritt for the Commanders.
Let's make it full circle here, talking about those new play callers. Sean Mannion's going to be calling plays for the first time in Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts. No A.J. Brown this year. 4.5 is that number against the Commanders in week number one. Paul, is that a cautionary tale for the Eagles this year, or a wait-and-see approach for you here for drafting some of those offensive players for Philadelphia?
I'm cautiously optimistic about Philly. And look, ask any Eagles fan how they feel about Kevin Petullo and the job he did last year calling plays for Philly, and they will tell you they cannot wait to see what this Sean Mannion offense looks like. We're hearing more under center formations, more pre-snap motion, more play action this year. Those are all play calling hacks, all efficiency hacks. And somebody like Saquon Barkley, we've seen his efficiency numbers go way up on plays where he's running with the quarterback being under center. We think we're going to see more of that. So I would look for Saquon to have a nice bounce back season for Philly with Sean Mannion calling the plays.
Excellent stuff as always, Paul. Everybody give him a follow on X at Paul Kelly Tweets. Check him out on SiriusXM's Fantasy Sports Radio. And again, for the people, and also Fantasy Football Morning, you gave out one over again, Paul. I didn't have my pen handy. What's the over on receptions that you gave out earlier in the segment?
I'm going Ramondre Stevenson tomorrow night over 3.5 catches.
Stevenson over 3.5. Book it, baby. Paul, we appreciate it, man. Great stuff as always. Cannot wait to get this football season started tomorrow night there in the Pacific Northwest. Jensen, when we come back, let's give out our predictions. Who's going to make the postseason and all the way to the Super Bowl next on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
If you're serious about betting, you need Edge Boost, the financial platform that's built specifically for players, a Visa debit card with no usage fees. So no more declined deposits, no waiting on bank transfers. Edge Boost is going to give you real-time access to your funds 24/7, 365 a year. And even on nights, weekends, holidays, does not matter. You use it across all your favorite sports books, the prediction markets, DFS platforms optimized for licensed U.S. gaming, land-based and online. Earn up to 5% cash back on eligible deposits. That's 0.5% cash back. And daily deposit limits up to $5 million per transaction. New users sign up with the promo code VSiN. Make a minimum $100 deposit into your Edge Boost account, and Edge Boost will match your deposit up to $100. It's the smarter way to manage your gaming bankroll. Head over to edgeboost.io. Use the promo code VSIN to get started today. Great conversation with Paul Kelly in the last segment. Please like, subscribe, VSiN by the Books pod, and take a listen on your time. Jensen, we're to that point. We've got football tomorrow night. You and I have been talking about this all summer long. So hay is in the barn. We've made our predictions. Tell the people what you have first for your playoff participants come January, if you can believe that. And then we'll get to the final kit and caboodle, and we'll give out our Super Bowl picks. What do you have?
Yeah, these predictions have been official for about a week now. Broncos win the West, Patriots the East, Ravens the North, Texans the South, Bills, Bengals, and Jaguars, my wild card participants. Bears win the NFC North, Bucks the South, Eagles the East, Rams the West, and then Cowboys, Lions, and Seahawks are in the tournament as wild card teams. Nothing changed from NFL Betting Guide 1.0 to 2.0 for me. It is still the Rams over the Ravens in the Super Bowl, and I think we're going to be in for quite the show in this NFL postseason. So nice, short, and to the point. We did make a couple of changes in NFL Betting Guide 2.0 as far as teams that made the postseason, and I removed a handful of them. But this Super Bowl, I think we're getting the two best teams, at least at the beginning of the season in both conferences. Rarely does it happen where start to finish, it ends up going that way, but I think we're in for it, and I just love the way that both these teams are set up for success. So Rams over the Ravens in the Super Bowl, my official prediction here on VSiN by the Books.
Very quickly, before I give you mine, when you have your picks out there, and obviously you're going to be probably most confident with the Ravens and the Rams, obviously that's how you got to your Super Bowl prediction. Are there any of those in the division that you go, man, if there's one that I'm iffy on, or is there one that you really feel like, hey, like, I think that people might be surprised by the Bears pick, right? That they can go back to back in year number two there in Chicago, year number three now for Caleb Williams. But when you look at your divisional winners, Jensen, which one outside of your Super Bowl participants do you like the best to get it done?
I think if I'm looking at my entire futures portfolio, I'm pretty convicted, I think, in the majority of them. If there was one that could go either way, I changed the Bears from the Lions to win the NFC North. I had the Lions originally, went to the Bears. I do trust Baker Mayfield and company because it is a sense of urgency and a contract year. Barring something unforeseen, the Ravens should be able to handle it. I just don't trust the health of Joe Burrow, and I know a lot of people love the Bengals on the network. I did do one crazy, off the beaten path Super Bowl exacta, and I don't even have this team in the NFC in my official predictions, but I just threw it in for the heck of it. I have the Broncos and the Packers at 94-1. On a bonus bet that if some chaos were to ensue, that's where I would get. So I know the irony there is that I didn't even pick the Packers on my 2.0 edition. In the original betting guide, Dave, I did have the Packers in the postseason as a wild card team. So I did two Super Bowl exactas so far. Obviously, Ravens, Rams, that's at 22-1. And then I did Broncos, Packers at 94-1. So that is the current Super Bowl exacta portfolio that I have, and obviously a bit more on the futures chart here once we get moving tomorrow night.
And while some people might be surprised that you're going to go with the Bears to go back-to-back to win that division, I did something similarly in the AFC this year, which I think people will be surprised if it happens again, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers to win the AFC North. I know they did it last year with Mike Tomlin. I think they're going to do it again with Big Mike and Mike McCarthy this year in year number one. So all of a sudden, like, I look at the AFC and I think you might get some tumult, if you will, there, certainly in the North and South with the Steelers and the Titans. Now, I know people are going to go, the Titans, have you watched them in preseason? I'm like, they look terrible. I get it. It's preseason. I'm not putting too much stock in that. I think that division, if Houston takes a slight step back offensively, I think you're going to get all those dogs in that division running that race towards the end. And I think the Titans could be that ultimate surprise team. That's the biggest long shot that I've got on the board here at 9-1 to win that division. I do like the Steelers with every passing day a little bit more. Now, I know people are going to look at the age of Aaron Rodgers. Remember, he was okay last year and they still won this division. I think he's going to be even better with Big Mike being reunited with that offense this year. And if their defense stays healthy, I think the Steelers really are in play. Chargers, I'm a little bit concerned about the offensive line already. We haven't got there. We already have injuries there. That is predicated on health up front, because Justin Herbert making the playoffs the way they did a year ago, Jensen, it's almost a miracle that they even got to the postseason with as banged up as that offensive line was. And remember, he had injuries throughout the year because the offensive line was not healthy. I'm nervy about the Bills a little bit. And we'll find out what Joe Brady is like as a head coach. I always say being a coordinator and then being a head coach, some guys are built to be a coordinator and not a head coach. We'll find out about Joe Brady. I like the talent of the Bills right now over the Patriots to win that division, but I do have concerns with first-time head coaches in that spot. So That's where I have the divisional winners. My wild cards are the Bengals, the Broncos, and the Chiefs. And the Chiefs, I'm nervy about. I am. And you notice that absent there is the Ravens. I don't have, that's my bold proclamation, that the Ravens don't make the postseason. So that's my big shock to the system there. But I'll tell you this, the Chiefs, if they miss the postseason, I won't be stunned by that at all. Because I do have, they're my last wild card team to get in. I'm not as high as everybody else is here on Kansas City this year. To the NFC, I love the Cowboys. If it's not this year, it's never going to happen for this unit, for this group. And we'll find out because Dak Prescott, now we're going into decade number two, if you can believe that, for Super Dak as the starting quarterback there. Falcons, look, this is just a play on a number and on a really bad division. I think this division is the worst division in football. I think the Buccaneers are receding before our eyes defensively. I like Todd Bowles a lot. I love Baker Mayfield. Past that, I don't know how much I really like this football team here. I know the Bucs are the favorites to win it. Give me the Falcons on a numbers play there. I'll take the Rams, but look, if the Niners can get healthy, that could be a push. And look, Seattle's still a wild card team for me. It is very hard to repeat in this day and age. We haven't seen it since the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes be able to do that, but I think they're still a wild card team. The Vikings might be a shock to everybody else out there. It is not for me. And I saw you at, I believe, Kyler Murray for comeback player of the year in one of your picks, Jensen. That's kind of in the same vein. If you get that, which you expect possibly for Kyler, they're going to win this division. That's the way I see it because I love the other 52 and what Brian Flores does defensively. Giants got me a little bit nervy. I like their makeup a little bit. I think you got a really good head coach now coming over from Baltimore. And that's part of the reason I think regression's coming for Baltimore. And I think positive so here for the Giants. I think they're a wild card team. Lions, man, I got burned on them last year. I'll put them in the playoffs, but got to tell you, man, I'm starting to wonder and worry a little bit about Dan Campbell. I did not think he put his best foot forward as a head coach last year. And again, I've got the Seahawks in as my final wild card, which gets me to the postseason. And Jensen, this is not a homer pick. It's the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl for the first time since 1995. And they're going to beat one of those brothers, Harbaugh. And it's going to be Jim. And it's going to be 31-21 is going to be my final score that I have out here for the Cowboys over the Chargers. Now, again, I like Brian Schottenheimer in year number two. I think he got his feet wet last year. He had a terrible defense. That defense, it's not going to be the offense that we're talking about at the end of the year. We're going to be shocked at how much better collectively this unit is. So while the offense, and I think Dak's going to be up for MVP if this stuff happens, Brian Schottenheimer could be up there for coach of the year. You're going to be more surprised about the competency of this Cowboy defense this year that they might be, dare I say, a top 10 unit. And if that happens, Jensen Lewis, that offense might be the best in the league. If not now, never. Dallas Cowboys, stand up. It's been three decades. That ends this year. Super Dak Prescott. The Dallas Cowboys get it done. 31-21 over the Chargers.
I can't wait for the social media responses. oh, boy. Get ready. Get ready.
I stepped in it now, Jensen. You got to put your money where your mouth is sometimes. I'm out there with the Cowboys this year, as you well know, to win this division at over 2-1. I think they're going to dethrone the Eagles and take that step forward. Let's get to our best bets, Jensen Lewis, baseball, football, and beyond. It's next right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
The wait is over. We are so thankful it is. College basketball already back, or college football rather, already back in our lives. The NFL kicking off tomorrow night. So you need to be a VSiN Pro subscriber if you're not already. When you get that subscription today, updated NFL betting guide with post preseason updates, week one betting systems, contest strategies, and fresh best bets from all of our experts. And with college football already upon us, check out the breakdown of all 138 FBS schools And right now, when you sign up, you're also going to get daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. You can get started for as little as $9.99 for your first month, or the much better offer, 50% off with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Would highly urge you, if you're taking this football season seriously, we know you are as a bettor, you need to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. And Jensen, I know that we've got Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin coming up next year in the network with a numbers game. And Kelly was putting some numbers together here for some of our divisional parlays. Look, I've got, I think, three teams that are projected worst, and I've got them going first in these divisions. So I'm not saying I can go out there and go 8-0. But if I did, Jensen, we would have one hell of a VSiN by the books vacation set up if we could get all eight of those three being extreme long shots to win those divisions.
Just put in mine here. So I have Patriots to win the East, Ravens to win the North, Texans to win the South, Broncos to win the West, Eagles to win the East, Bears to win the North, Bucks to win the South, Rams to win the West. That is just a tick under 377-1. So 100 to win 37K. Ooh. That's actually not bad to hit all eight winners. Again, great friend of the program, Trick Daddy, chiming in the commercial break. If you guys will remind me, I believe it's 4,200-1 is Dave's all eight division winners. 42,000-1. So you're saying, and maybe you'll have to call Jeff Benson after the show to see if they'll book that for you, a crisp hundo to parlay all eight division winners. 4.2 million. Is that it?
I mean,
let me see what
that, by the way, ahead. So when I hit that, right. And I get 4.2 million, we're going to Stadium Swim. Cabana's on me, boys. Like we're going to just do this thing. So right up there. Like to me, that probably be one of the first spots I'd want to go up there basking in the glory of going. And by the way, yeah, sure. To be about the money, the 4.2 million, but about getting all eight right. You know how hard that is to do, people, in all seriousness? Like, go ahead and pick eight favorites of here and just take all the favorites here, short shots on the board to win those divisions, Jensen. It's probably not going to happen. We get chaos every year in the NFL.
Okay, so remind me again, because I'm going to build this out. I'm going to tell you where we would go if you were to hit this. Okay, so you have the Bills to win the East, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
Pittsburgh Steelers to win the North.
Steelers, okay. Yep.
And then I've got the Titans. That's the big shocker there. The Titans to win the South and the Chargers to win the West. In the East, in the NFC, it's going to be the Cowboys. The big fourth place team right now projection, Minnesota Vikings to win the North to get that done. Down South, this is the hardest one. It's the Falcons because I need a quarterback, right? Give me a quarterback. Is it going to be Cooper Rush? Is it going to be Jack Strand? I don't know. Give me a quarterback because I like the other guys and I wish the injuries didn't happen in the preseason as well. So that's the extreme long shot for me. And then the short favorite is the Rams to win the NFC West. Could you imagine if you got all 11 right and then the Rams were the one, the shortest shot on the board at 5-1 to win the Super Bowl, shorter than by $5 than anybody else? They're the one that upset that apple cart and didn't get it done. But Jensen, there are three long shots I'm taking there. Vikings, Titans, and certainly the Falcons.
Okay, I just built it on FanDuel. It says 100 to win 48K. So we'll figure out where we are. I'll tell you, we can go to Stadium Swim, but I would then, we'd need to charter the jet to Dubai. If we go over and hit Burj Khalifa. Yeah, I mean, let's take this thing international. Forget the time zone switch to Melbourne. Let's take this thing overseas. Let's get into some Dubai action and really celebrate this the way you should.
All right, in a Lewis Ross administration, that's why you're the president. So when I get that 4.2, you tell us, Prez, where we're going, and that's where we're going. So I'll fire up the bird, all on me. We go if we go 8-0 and get this divisional parlay home. You got some baseball plays out there for the people today. Very quickly, Jensen here. And you're on an unders theme today here in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, let me give these out just Cliff Notes version, because I do want to highlight one of our favorites here at the network, and a really cool market that I know was featured on a numbers game yesterday. Mm-hmm. So for our audience just hearing it the first time, here are our big plays, 2.5 unit plays. We're going right back to the well at Comerica Park. Twins and Tigers under 8.5, minus $1.11. Again, Dean Kramer's been pretty solid. Back-to-back road starts, 3 total runs allowed. Detroit is 19-17-3 to the under as a home favorite. If you are one of those people that pushed on the under for Arizona and Kansas City yesterday, my God, I feel for you. I just cannot believe 0-0 after 9 innings and then 9 runs scored in the 10th inning by itself.
Unreal.
We are going to go back to the under here, though. 2.5 unit play, under 9.5, minus $1.17. Arizona, Dave, best team in the National League to the under as a road favorite, 17-8 to that situational spot, which they're in right now. Kansas City's only a game over 500 as a home dog, 25-24-2. So under 9.5, minus $1.17 for a 2.5 unit play, Diamondbacks and Royals. Here's what I wanted to bring up, and great segment from Gil and Kelly yesterday. Justin Emery, who's one of our great producers at the network, has been mm-hmm. really working hard on a really unique market in Major League Baseball every day. It's the daily strikeout leaders. He's really found a niche spot here, and he had himself a hell of a Labor Day weekend. Hit a 16-1 twice in Logan Gilbert and Parker Messick, hit Peyton Tolley at 11-1, and then Jesus Azardo, one of the shorter shots, at plus 425 yesterday. That's a clean sweep, 4-0. If you've not read his article and his write-up at VSiN.com, highly encourage you to do it. I even text him some mornings just because we have enough to do on the show. And I'm like, okay, who do you like today? Because I'll just blindly tail you at some point. And he's been exceptional with it. So just wanted to highlight Justin's exceptional work. I was on with Gil and Kelly yesterday. If you go to the VSiN Watch app, really great segment to watch from yesterday's show. So again, shout out Justin. Mile high salute to you. Keep rolling the winners, because it's going to pay for the brisket. Mm-hmm. And he is going to be in prime shape come the postseason with a very nice ROI in this market.
Yeah, happened to catch that segment yesterday with Gil and Kelly with Justin. It was fantastic listen, and Justin really doing some really good work there. So again, those have been hitting like hotcakes there. Check out that number. Joe Friso, by the way, just sent us a text, Jensen, and this is interesting. Okay. For the 8 divisional winners a year ago, and if my math is wrong, Joe, let me know. But a dollar bet, if you got all 8 divisional winners a year ago, would have netted you $254,783.95. Yep. Don't forget about the 95 cents, if that is correct. Now, Jensen, you look at some of the longer shots on there. The Patriots were plus 550. Okay, the mm-hmm. Steelers were plus 550. So these are in some of the price points that I'm looking at with Atlanta, right? So I know people are going, this is crazy. 6-1. Was another one. That was the Bears to win the North last year, I do believe. So a Seattle to win the West was plus 550. I was actually on that last year. So I know people go, this is crazy, these numbers you're throwing out there. Last year, Jensen, we had a lot of these worst to first that actually cashed a year ago.
Okay, it's not going to happen, but just for the fun and frivolity of it, if you were to take, you know, again, just some of the longer shots. So the Steelers are 5-1 this year. Let's not get stupid and take either the Jets or the Dolphins. So let's take the Patriots because they're plus money. If your Titans pick comes home, that's plus 950. Whew. We're not dumb. We're not taking the Raiders. The longest shot on FanDuel is between the Chargers and the Broncos. I'm just clicking the Broncos for selfish reasons. If the Giants shock the world and John Harbaugh does it, that's 6-1. Vikings, I think every team in the North and the NFC has a viable path forward. Carolina, as the division winner last year, has longest odds on the board on FanDuel at plus 340. And then let's say the Niners defy all odds and the substation to get through there. I mean, that's another monster parlay right there if you want to look at it. So we get underway tomorrow, man. It is going to be, it's been a long road to get here. We're finally there. Get your sleep tonight, Mr. Ross, because you will be burning the candle at both ends for the rest of the week.
I will be putting to get a pizza these days is $20, right? I'm going to be putting a fourth of a pizza money bet on that 8-leg parlay to get home at $5. So I'll get that in pocket for fun here if these long shots can get home. But yeah, I do not expect that people to hit, and I would not expect that to hit. But if you had that last year, oh my goodness, $1 would have netted you one heck of a profit. Jensen, can't wait, man. Gonna be so much fun tomorrow talking week one of the NFL season in the Pacific Northwest, and then game number two in Melbourne on Thursday or on Friday or on Wednesday, depending on your perspective. Great stuff as always. If you want more VSiN, we know you do. You've been watching on FanDuel Sports Network, YouTube TV. It's VSiN.com, the VSiN Watch app, a numbers game with Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidwin. They are straight ahead.